So sad. You guys got to go past Memorial Day? When's the last day?
Friday.
Wow. In June. It's May 30th.
In a way, May we're able to jam pack things more efficiently, I think, but it's still.
I know.
Okay. 2 minutes. Okay. Good morning. Obviously, I did not learn how to tell time in school. How's everybody this morning? Okay. Y'all doing okay?
Morning.
Okay. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I'm Elizabeth, for those who don't know me. And we just want to welcome everybody here that's here and online. So we'll start with some announcements. Online prayer requests. If you can text or email to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com. Jenkins Kids will be with Julie and Ree. And then child care during the service will be with Joy and myself, if anybody needs child care. Pastor Jason, as you know, is on sabbatical. I think he's hopping around New York right now before they fly out. He will be unavailable through mid-June. If you need any pastoral needs, please contact me. I will contact my father or any other minister that is available. And if you have any administration needs, please contact Jennifer, who works in the office. So, security film has been installed and sealed. I could barely tell a difference on Monday, but they are coming back to do something tomorrow. So just please avoid touching the doors while that's happening. I know Jennifer will be here tomorrow. She did send out a message. So something is going on tomorrow, but just be careful if you are here to not touch the doors or the glass on the doors. And then we have the gym cabinet install is starting this week. So that is awesome. We'll have storage space. If you don't have any scheduled events on the calendar, please refrain from using the gym at that time so that they can be, have they been delivered?
They're coming Wednesday.
Okay. So they'll be delivered and installed this week.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then for our next women's event, it's Saturday, June 7th. We are going to the Nash Family Creamery that is out, I still consider it Eagleville, but Chapel Hill area down 41A. If you look at their menu, they have some amazing looking sandwiches. I've heard the ice cream is fantastic. Soups are great. So if you need to carpool, let me know by June 1st. Again, I can't read a calendar either. So on the invite, I put the wrong date. So if your kids are interested in any church camps, we have presbyterial camps that are happening in June and July. See me for information. I have a flyer for that. I know a lot of the kids that grew up in this church, just in me myself, loved going to church camp. Just a great experience. So if you have anybody that is interested, just let me know. And this is something that is definitely needed since it's warming up and it got very humid this week. Bug spray is in dire need. The bugs are definitely out again. So if you can pick up a can or two to help out the burrito ministry friends, bring it anytime you can. It would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So, I want to make sure. Are there any other announcements? We are still accepting gifts for Hannah and Reagan. So if you need information on that, see me as well. So anything else? Okay, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
If you would please stand for our call to worship. Comes from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, we come together today as a community of faith. Lord, bless us. Bless this community. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to us today that we may feel your presence here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So remain standing and we're going to sing number 2 of the hymnal, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And it's a light crowd today, a light crowd up here, so that just means you have to sing louder. So let's go.
Scripture of assurance today comes from Revelation chapter 21 verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, See, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.
Let's sing number 347, Be Still My Soul.
Jenkins kids would like to go with Miss Julie and Miss Marie. And we just want to say thank you for all of the offerings that everybody has been giving, whether it's time, financial, prayer. If you want to see some of the things that have been done, there's a list on the back bulletin board that our building and grounds group have been working on behind the scenes. Some of it you may not see, but we know that it is being done. So if you want to see some things listed that have been done, please check out the bulletin board. Because there's a lot that has been completed for updates, that things that have been needed. So we have the box in the back, cash, donate online, and then you can mail it in if needed. So, and I'm going to let you do the scripture reading, and I'm going to introduce Reverend Andy Ward.
The offering.
You
did the offering.
Yeah,
as long as you don't just talk about it, I guess that's good. We are going to be in Acts 11, 1 through 18, if you want to open that up. But while you're doing that, I'll just tell you, I haven't been here the back way through coming through Smyrna exit. So I came back that way, and Lord, it is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. A lot of country still left out here. Not much. It's kind of disappearing. Amen?
Amen.
But it's still a beautiful drive. It reminded me that one of my first churches was way out in Bethpage, middle of nowhere, and I had a funeral to do, and I got separated from the funeral party. They were going to go ahead, and I was going to meet them. And I drove all over that valley looking for them. I finally found they had already started burying the filling the hole in. And so I walked up and I said, well, I'm here. I might as well do something. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I thought I did a pretty good job. One never knows. And I turned around. I was leaving and the two guys stopped. They stopped and were sitting there patiently as I did my thing. And then when I was leaving, I heard them saying when I was walking away, that's a lot of fuss for a septic tank. And you're right. And you're right. It was a lot of fuss for a septic tank. So I didn't get lost coming back that way, but it was absolutely beautiful. Acts 11, 1 through 18. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from the heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, birds of the air, and I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the second time the voice answered from the heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. And at that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me. And when he entered the man's house, he told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we were when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. The word of God for the people of God. Well, I appreciate Jason asking me to come out. I'm sure he went down that list a long way to get to me, but I appreciate it. I love doing pulpit supply because I can be good or bad, and it doesn't matter because I don't have to face y'all again for a while. So hopefully it's better than I sometimes am. I grew up in church. I don't know about y'all, but I grew up, when I was a little kiddo, I grew up in the United Methodist Church. Anybody know any Methodist? Bless their hearts. Right? They're Wesleyans. My faith was different from others I grew up with in Madison. Anybody cruise Shoney's when they were younger? Oh, Lord, we got some bad ones in here then, don't we? Repentant. I'm still working on that. My faith was a little bit different than others I grew up with. I grew up in the town where the big Church of Christ was, and of course they had a different experience. A Pentecostal church in the area was a different experience for people growing up in it than it would be for a Wesleyan. But Wesleyan is like the vanilla of churches. They are right down the middle. Amen? My conversion experience is different from other conversion experiences. My conversion experience was a gradual, like cooking frogs. You start with cold water and cook them slowly. With a lot of Pentecostal churches, it's a come to Jesus moment where the Holy Spirit overcomes you, and even speaking in tongues being proof of that conversion. And so when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's really slow and sometimes it can be an overwhelming experience. It doesn't mean one is any better than the other. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit today, and in Acts, it's doing its work. In our scripture today, the Holy Spirit converts Gentiles to follow Jesus. Acts is actually a continuation of Luke. So Luke was one big long conversation, and they chopped it in half when they started talking about Peter and moving away from the Lukean part. It kind of had a natural break. And so they said Acts of the Apostles, but we're still dealing with the same writers we were in that. It was written, this is a newer version of the Jesus narrative, in the fact that these are probably second generation followers of Jesus. These are second generation Christians. It was probably written, but it was written to tell us about the early church. Now, one thing I know the early church liked just as much as this era church is, we like to get out early, right? Amen? Okay, y'all didn't say amen loud enough, so. Especially when the preacher's gone, the normal preacher, so we try to get short. So if I go long, I've already told the tech guy back there to turn my mic off, right? Okay. Because you know how preachers are. They can go on and on and on. Luke and Acts is not perfect history. It is not meant to be perfect history. It was written to relate the understanding this second generation, even third generation, followers of Jesus, their understanding of the church and the mission of the church. It is written to give us a window into what was going on in that era, in that time. It contains certain things that you'll get from this Luke Acts narrative, especially Acts. It's about the Holy Spirit's life in the church. We've already seen in our scripture today that the Holy Spirit has led to a new understanding about who was in and who was out. It is the church in a non-Christian culture. So the early church was a Jewish church, and they met in the synagogues and they met in the temple. They were part of the Jewish different ways of viewing their own existence. So the Jews had different sects. I better say that carefully. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And Christianity was a small group that was meeting, and they had a different understanding. They believed the Messiah had come, but they were still part of the Jewish community. It is also how to become a Christian. So in Luke Acts, they talk about this coming into the church, how that was accomplished. It was the church as a continuation of the plan and purpose of God. So in Luke and Acts, the narrative is this is a plan that God had all along. We had a plan that always the Gentiles were going to be a part of that. And there's some truth to that, because in Judaism, it was often thought that when God came and did the great cleanup of the earth, not sending everybody off, but God would come and renew the earth, renew its people, and all of us would benefit from that, even the Gentiles. But first the Jews. But this is part of the plan that they're saying. This proves this plan is ongoing. It's also the relationship of the church with the secular world, how it interacting at the time with the rest of the world. And it's also about the unity of the church. Now, I don't know if you believe that unity is something the church has ever had. It's not. It never was a unified church, and it never has been a unified church. Amen? We've always had different opinions about things. Unity was a fleeting thing in the early church, just as it is now. The division began immediately, almost, when you have understandings of the resurrection, understandings of how we're going to organize this, if we're still going to be Jewish, if we're not. And then add the addition to the Gentiles, and it was quite divisive at the time. In the lectionary selection today, we are seeing the Holy Spirit speak, not only to Peter, who is a Jew, but to non-Jews as well. Early Christianity was a Jewish movement, which found itself in the synagogue. And for some, this was a very hard thing to overcome, that now God was speaking to others, the Gentiles. The big disagreement was having uncircumcised people entering the movement. You could be a God-fearer in Jewish time, in these early Jewish times, and before Jesus, you could hang about in the court of the Gentiles in the temple, and you could follow the tenets of it, because they allowed that God had been felt by some, but to be included in the inner, go and be able to go into the inner areas was forbidden. And so this understanding had been lived with so long. If you have a habit that you've lived with so long that it's very hard to overcome, I smoked when I was younger, And that's one of the hardest things I've ever given up. Amen. Anybody ever quit smoking? I finally quit fooling around on Leanne, so that was good. That didn't take anything but a shotgun, that's not true. I don't do that. But you grow up with certain understandings, and it's very difficult for you to hear that everything has changed. Paul was called to Jerusalem over this. Remember, Paul had to go and speak to the James and the other ones about this going and preaching to the Gentiles. It was serious. Acts is telling us this later church had come to the understanding that it was okay. This is the church writing saying that they understood now that it was okay. That the Holy Spirit was speaking not only to the Jewish faithful, but also to others whom God had called. This food reference is not about what one can eat and what can't eat. I love when people argue about specific things in the Old Testament, and you can't do this and you can't do that, but they go to barbecue dinners on a regular basis because that's forbidden. For this church is saying that it's more inclusive than you think it is. God is doing more to bring people in than you think that should be. That Peter was eating in a very familiar fashion. In the scripture it says he was eating with them, but this way they say it, the scripture actually means almost a really familiar family dinner where people are like respect each other and loving each other. I know that's hard to believe sometimes with our families, but this way he says it is a very familiar meal with them. Not just, I want to have dinner and I'm not going to talk to you, but this was community. This was community, and that was forbidden. But that was speaking about inclusion. Christianity has been dealing with inclusion for a long time, and even today, we Cumberland Presbyterians faced inclusion from our very inception. We were a church that had been kicked out of the Presbyterian body because we were educating our own clergy here, and the Presbyterian church back east said, you can't do that. We also had started letting women, and later on letting women into the pulpit. That was very divisive. But the Cumberland Presbyterian Church had always been a church that allowed the Holy Spirit to speak. And women were not only invited into the pulpit, but into the leadership. Now this church, one of the early churches to have women in the pulpit, women in leadership roles as elders, our understanding was changed by the Holy Spirit. But it was tough. Our founders felt led by that same Holy Spirit that Peter had felt. I guess my point is today, the church has always changed its understanding from its very inception of who was included. Jesus challenged folks all the time about who was included. When he talked about stopping the Samaritan, stopping and helping the person on the side of the road, it was about including people that had worth that you didn't ever think would, and part of this reconciliation process, this doing God's will process, as it were. So who would be included? When making, this church has always changed, including when making future distinctions. We need to remember our past. The same things about Christianity have evolved, and our Christianity continues to evolve because it has always done that. I have come to the conclusion personally. You know, when you're in church a long time and you have these basic beliefs and stuff, and we are creedal people, so we always have these creeds where we believe this, believe that, and our creed may be different than somebody else's creed and everything. And I think a lot of that sometimes gets in the way of becoming who God is calling us to be, in my understanding. Maybe not for you, but for me, it kind of was an area where you went, oh, I'm not sure. My understanding, my conclusion has been that that Jesus gave us the bedrock of what our belief system should be, of our faith, when he said the most important thing. What is the most important thing, he was asked? And he said, love God and love your neighbor. The Torah hinges on these very words. If you took the Torah and said, what does it mean with all the ups and downs and the stories and narratives in the Torah? It's that God loves, and we have this ability to have this connection, and that we're to love others. From my understanding, keep this connection. Whatever the mystery of God is, keep that connection open so the Holy Spirit can do its work. And love, sacrificially. We tend to be very tribal. Amen? We love tribes. We love tribes so much that when we have baseball teams and football teams and stuff, they're our team and we root for them and we hate anybody else.
Amen.
My daughters are Cubs fans. Unbelievable. You come from a Cardinal family. How in the world could you love the Cubs? I coached one time. One of my daughters, I have four daughters. Somebody say, God bless you. Four daughters. One of them decided to play soccer. I said I was going to walk around, didn't I? And I didn't do it. So I'll do it now. Four daughters. Beautiful girls. They're all doing well. The last one, Abby, gets married next weekend, and I get to do the sermon. Or the not sermon. We're not doing sermon. But I get to do the ceremony. Marrying a young man who's working with the state for trying to keep us from poisoning ourselves with lead. He's a very ecologically aware young man, very, very good, very good soul. And Abby's working at Vol State. All the girls are doing well. They love history, so a lot of two other ones are working in the history area. My oldest daughter was working in hospitality. She's just the most creative person I've ever known. Just wonderful person. And my son Brandon is the quiet one of the bunch because he's outnumbered. He did. And they're doing well. But I was coaching. She wanted to play soccer. Becky wanted to play soccer. So we went down to Gulletsville. Gulletsville's a big, they're a big sports, you know, area. Hendersonville, Gulletsville there. So we went and we got her signed up. And they said, well, we'll let you know when we get a coach. Because you can't play until we get a coach. Would you like to coach? And I'm like, I've never played soccer. I was in the band in high school. I didn't know anything. I played trumpet. So, I don't know. Trumpet players don't play much games, apparently, because I didn't play. So they said, well, if you don't do it, because I happen to be there, then she's not going to get to play because we don't have a coach, I said. And she's, you know, when your daughter looks up at you like, Dad. So I became a soccer coach. And coaching is some... Anybody coached? Coach? Coaching is the thing that you will learn about people quickest. They go from this loving family to these screaming demons yelling at you because you didn't call the right play or you didn't do... They're very tribal. Instead, we had one of them play upward basketball, which they don't keep the score. And I was just like, this is crazy. How would they not keep the score when you're playing, you know, and it's like, cause we don't want... And I understand that now. Because it's not about winning and losing sometimes. It's not about you being on a team that you hate everybody else's team. It's not about being in a country where you say we're so great, nobody else is as great as us, when we're all the same community of God. We tend to be too tribal in our outlook on life. When we're Christians, we're called against that. We're called not to do that. We have to look at humanity and even earth care as part of our stewardship and part of our calling. This Holy Spirit that has led us thus far is calling us further. We can hear it in our children's voices, in our kids' voices, to be more concerned about others, to be more concerned about the earth and the planet. The Holy Spirit is moving and we need to listen. We fight against things just like the early church did when they said, we don't want these Gentiles in our church. They're uncircumcised. They're unclean. They eat weird stuff. I ate haggis one time. I guess that's probably not on the list at all. We are called to love God, keep the connection, keep the Holy Spirit in our lives so we can listen. And listen. Quit talking so much and listen and then go do. That's our job. It's not about whose creed is better than another's and who believes what. It's about keeping that connection and going and doing God's will. And God's will is that we start crossing boundaries. That we start loving people that you wouldn't think you should. Well, I wasn't a great soccer coach. Our team didn't do very well, but we had a blast. We played a little team. Now, this is the funny part, and I'll shut up. He's fixing to cut me off anyway. So, my kids are about this size, and we got on the field, and there's... Anybody do soccer? Did you coach soccer? Soccer? Soccer. So, we had kids this size, and we went out on the field, and the kids were this size. They were playing up because they had been together since they were babies. They were in diapers playing, apparently. Well, I told the girls, I said, take it easy on them. Don't run over them. Don't hurt them. Let's not score too much on them, you know, and stuff like that. They annihilated us. At the end of the game, I was one of those demon parents yelling at the kids, just knock them down. They're littler than you. The Holy Spirit is moving, huh?
No, don't call
people. Oh, here? Where am I supposed to be? Oh, he's got me. Even if I roof real quick. We are God's people, amen?
Amen.
We are called by the Holy Spirit to be doing the will of God. And the will of God is never about harming something. It's always about sacrificial love. So when Peter includes people into the thing, this church understood that not only was this gift of Jesus for the Jews, but it was for everyone. Everyone can follow this path. They called it the way for a reason. It was a way of being. So let's be that. Let's be the church and be the way that God had intended. God's intention is not... Revelation is one of those things. I could go on forever here. Cut me off, please. Revelation is a church that's suffering, that writes stuff that, hey, hang on, things are going to get better. It's not meant to be prophecy. This is what it's meant. This Acts, Luke, is meant to be what we are about. So let's be about that. Let's not worry about the end of the earth. That's not our call. Amen? Our call is today and now, feeding people burritos and getting bugs. It's cleaning up a river. It's making sure people understand that we respect others and we cross boundaries. Let's pray. Lord, You have called us and You have convicted us, and we have accepted that with our baptism, that we will be a part of this movement, Lord. Help us to remember our baptism and our promises that we have made, that we will serve, and we will serve sacrificially for You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to sing.
Let's stand up and sing real loud so Jason will think there's 15,000 people here.
So we'll be singing Softly and Tenderly, which talks about God calling us. So it works out very well.
Lord,
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together as a community of faith. Lord, empower us to be the people that you've called us to be, to go into the world and to love the world as you have loved us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated while we do our prayer requests. Oh, it's okay.
That was my big ending.
It was great. From Nancy Bean, Jason's mother, it's the Somerset and London tornado. It says, Jason and I have lived in Somerset and she worked in London. We have friends and acquaintances who were affected by the tornado. Please be in prayer for all those whose lives have been touched through this tragic event. It was pretty devastating. So please, St. Louis also, we have a cousin that hit about 3 miles from their house. So just lots of prayers for that area and all who were affected. And then from Pastor Jason, Liz said revelation, not revelations. So the preacher is proud.
Turn him off.
And he says, we love you all and miss you. See you soon. And thank you, Kitty and Andy. So I got called out. But oh, I know. He called out a good call out. first prayer request I would like to say is my dad was in a small wreck yesterday. They think it had to do with his pacemaker and his heart rate. So he goes either tomorrow or Wednesday to get that checked out. So just pray for him. He's sore. The airbag went off. So hopefully we can figure out what happened. But he is home. I took him home last night and he was good. He was trucking it out of the ER. So, and then also the Davis family, I put them on last week. They are my neighbors and they need a lot of prayer. So, if you'll please pray for them. So, Larry?
Kurt Donegan is to have his surgery, I believe, Thursday. That's where they hook up the probes with the, I call it a pacemaker, but it's a device that stimulates it. You're supposed to do that Thursday.
So okay.
Good results.
Do you know what hospital?
Don't know what.
Okay. Okay.
My friend George, he's had great health problems. He's going to have a procedure on Tuesday. He should have relief of pain.
Okay.
Last week I asked for prayer for our family, and I'd like for you to be praying for that. Also, I have two cousins. My cousin Amy suffered a stroke and lost partial sight in one of her eyes. And it's been a week and she says it's starting to come back. So that was the only effect she had from the stroke. So we're very thankful for that. But please pray for Amy. And also my cousin Jack has terminal cancer all throughout his body. He has, they say, 6 months to live, so please pray for him as well. And his wife, Rachel.
Other prayer requests?
Ring schedule for the induction.
Yes. Reagan is scheduling, it's tomorrow, right?
So basically.
Oh, tonight, okay. So Reagan will be induced tonight. She's having another little boy. So just keep them in your prayers. Yes.
Kathy goes in for surgery tomorrow.
Which hospital?
Wilmington,
okay. We'll definitely be praying for you. I like to know just in case I can send somebody to you. Any others? Okay. If you'll pray for us again, please.
So you have kept them praying.
You can't get rid of it. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up those that we have mentioned. Terrible storms that have devastated the parts of this country. Lord, we just lift those up and we pray for them that the the lives that are lost. We mourn. We pray for those responders who now have the job of going through and finding still more folks. Lord, we lift them up as well. Lord, we pray for those that we've mentioned, the ones having surgeries and procedures. Lord, we lift them up and pray for your healing hand will be upon them. We lift up this community of faith, Lord, here that holds down this corner. Lord, we pray for their, you know, that their future is bright. Keep the Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord. We lift up this community of Nolensville. There's so much growth here, Lord. We just pray for wisdom in the challenges of managing that. We pray for our state leaders and our national leaders. We pray for those who serve us in the military, those who serve us in our police and fire, all those who help our lives manage the way they are, Lord, all those who serve us in many different ways. We lift up our teachers as they come to the close of another year, and we thank them for our service. Lord, they are without measure, something that we truly treasure, Lord. We lift up those that we serve in our burrito ministry, all the homeless. We pray for guidance in how we can help those who we see on a regular basis, Lord, to make room for one more. And Lord, we thank you for the understanding of your Holy Spirit moving us, not only as a church, but as a country and as the world. Lord, we just pray that movement continues and grows. And Lord, we thank you for giving us the prayer that you taught us so long ago that just about encapsulates everything. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, send us out to be light in a dark world. Send us out to be people that hear your voice and follow your path. In Christ's name, amen.